Hi, everyone. Welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Hashi Bai.
Hi.
And today, our special guest, Sumedh Bharti.
Hello, good morning.
Sumedh, would you like to introduce yourself and tell people what you're going to talk about today?
My name is Sumedh Bharti. I'm a program manager in the Azure security team, and we recently released a service called Azure Key Vault, which helps developers of an Azure application store their keys and secrets safely on Azure.
Perfect.
And it also helps customers, will help customers of SaaS applications from Microsoft and third parties secure their keys in those applications.
Super cool. Well, before we get into that, we're going to go over a little bit of news from the past month, some really cool stuff. So first thing is the general availability of Azure ML, so that's machine learning. We did a really cool show about that a little while back, so check that out. But now this has gone general availability, so it's approved for production use. And one of the cool features that I know came out of this is you can actually now not just run R code as part of Azure ML, but you can also run Python code, so that's pretty cool. So let's keep going. So also, general availability of Apache Storm, cluster scaling, Hadoop 2.6, as well as node sizes, and a preview of the first hosted service on Linux, so HD Insight on Linux, so that's really awesome. And we're actually going to have a big data series on Cloud Cover coming up soon, so we're going to be talking a lot more about HD Insight and some of the stuff there really soon. In coming episodes of this. So site recovery, general availability of enterprise disaster recovery with storage area networks, really great stuff for disaster recovery. And then some stuff announced a little bit earlier this month, but we didn't really mention it. General availability of SQL Database V12. One of the really big takeaways from this is super improved performance. So I think it highlights here up to 100 times performance improvements. So if you have a really performant workload, SQL Database V12 is going to be great for that. Website support for slot settings, so specific settings for each individual site slot you're using in websites. A new tier for API management, so a premium tier with some new features like multiple geographic deployments, Azure Virtual Network VPN integration, Active Directory integration, some great stuff. For DocumentDB, now available in new Asia and US regions, also supports SQL parameterization as well as increased account limits, so really cool. And then Azure Search, some portal enhancements, new suggestions and scoring, as well as new regions for that. So some really, really cool features coming down for Azure Search. For media services, general availability of Content Protection Service. We did a show on Content Protection Service a little while back, so that's now GA. General availability of the Azure Resource Manager, another thing where I think we did a little show about that a little while back, so GA. So ton of really cool and great new services and features, as well as a ton of stuff that's gone GA, so approved for production use. Yep. So check those out, and now we're going to get ready for our main presentation. All right, we're back. All right, let's see what Azure Key Vault's all about.
Yeah, so last month we released the Azure Key Vault service in public preview. And this service is targeted at two classes of people who have been approaching us all this while saying, so one is the developers of applications on Azure. Mm-hmm. Almost every application on Azure has some kind of sensitive settings, passwords, storage account keys, cryptographic keys. And the very common questions are, where do I store them safely on Azure? I mean, I normally just package them with my app config or maybe dump them on Azure storage. Is there a safer place? Second, how can I get those into my application without my developers and operators actually seeing them?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think the most obvious example of this would be you're putting up a web application and you have a connection string for your database, right?
Perfect.
Exactly. And that's pretty much every application,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And then there is a specialized class of applications that deal with cryptographic keys. And there are these devices called HSMs, hardware security modules, which are like a little crypto circuitry wrapped in epoxy. Mm-hmm. They're like Hotel California. You can put in keys. You can never get the keys out. And that is the gold standard for pretty much every bank transaction, every credit card transaction, every military high-sensitive data protection. People use them in their data centers. And as they come to Azure, they say, well, how do I do this in Azure? So Key Vault service was designed as a solution for these three problems for developers on Azure. Other than developers, there is a separate class of people who don't code. These are people who subscribe to SaaS services from Microsoft or others, like Office 365, like Azure SQL DB. And all they want is a checkbox that says, my data stays encrypted when you have it in the cloud, and I need further promises around keys. And those promises vary depending on who you're talking to. There are some people who say, I want those keys on my own premises. I want those keys, maybe not in my own premises, but in HSMs that I control in the cloud. There are others in Europe, especially because of legislation, that say, my country, my keys must stay within my country. Mm-hmm. There are others subject to laws written back in the 90s that say, no, these keys must stay in an HSM. I just explained what an HSM is earlier. And there are others that say, well, I get audited every 9 months, and I need to prove to my auditor that I'm the one who generated the key. Mm-hmm. I have been looking at who's been accessing them. I have been rotating them every year, and so on. And then finally, as more and more cloud services sprout up, mm-hmm. it's going to be madness if people had to manage their keys all over the place. So we want a centralized place to manage their encryption keys.
Makes sense.
So Key Vault was the solution to the bottom three problems. Azure and Office 365 will address the problem above that using region-specific solutions. So we have Azure that is dedicated in China, operated by Chinese citizens, for instance. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft Corporation is off limits from it. And then we will do this in other countries as well as the demand grows up. For the first set of problems that says I need my keys on premises, if you're writing your own application in Azure, you can certainly call back into your on-premises HSM. We don't prevent that. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, in terms of workflows, this is the overall workflow we imagine. Now, this red guy over here in my slide deck is a developer. Today, imagine the red guy is, I can point here, right?
Sure.
The red guy is writing an application, and imagine the left-hand side does not exist. Today, the application, let's say, requires, in your example, a connection string to a SQL database. This person must encode that in the configuration somewhere, deploy it along with the application. The application can access the SQL database. Problem is, now this person has full visibility into it. Mm-hmm. Now, as a developer, that's fine, because it's your own test database. It's your own test application. With Key Vault, I just want to show one delta. And it does not change any promises. But the delta here is this person would go create a Key Vault, authorize his application, import connection strings, cryptography keys, et cetera, in that Key Vault, and then deploy the application, point it to the Key Vault. The application can at runtime fetch those secrets and use them. So far, you didn't quite see the benefit compared to the previous flow. But wait a minute. Now, as you go to production, now you start seeing the benefit. There's typically a more privileged person in the organization who says, I am the one who needs to manage all these sensitive things. That person is the one who's going to provision the Key Vault, manage access, import the connection strings, cryptographic keys, et cetera. This person is completely hands-off.
They're the person that's controlling basically access to maybe the production data that maybe every developer shouldn't
exactly
have.
And not even the operator should. Like the application operators, in a typical organization, there's a small CSO, office of the CSO, and maybe 50 different departments doing different applications, and none of them should have access to these secrets. Only their applications should. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too early to ask, but when the application accesses the keys or the secrets, is that decrypted, or I need a special API to use that encrypted information?
Great question, and I'll get to this slightly later. There's two kinds of things you can store in Key Vault. One is called keys, and one is called secrets. Mm-hmm. Keys are special in the sense that, just like an HSM, you can put them in, you cannot get them out. Behind the scenes, we have hardware security modules, and that's where much of the crypto happens. Applications can call into the Key Vault to say, can you please decrypt on my behalf? Can you please sign on my behalf? And the service will do that for you. So the application is hands off of the keys. Mm-hmm. Secrets are things that you can put in the Key Vault and authorized parties can retrieve. A connection string to a database is a mm-hmm. perfect example. Mm-hmm. It's no good to keep it here. The application ultimately needs it.
Right.
A password to a Twitter account or a storage account key are other examples. Mm-hmm. Now, so far so good. This is one application. But the beauty of this is a logical construct. It's not a physical piece of appliance that you have to think about purchasing for $10,000 and waiting 2 months. This is a logical piece that as you scale out, you can very easily, just in minutes, deploy additional Key Vaults. You can scale out across the world, maybe deploy this Key Vault in North America, another one in Europe, one more in Asia. Maybe you have multiple applications that need to be isolated from each other. So whatever your reason be, you can very quickly scale out.
And that's how you'd get it. So if I have to have my keys stored in Europe, for example, I create a Key Vault in Europe, and then I know
you
that
got
those
it.
Keys are in Europe.
Gotcha. Perfect.
And you don't have to have a, okay, you're sure that you don't have have to have a one-to-one relationship between the key vault and the application.
Absolutely. And this,
that's not multi-vault.
This is a great example of when it's one-to-many relation. A multi-tenant application could say, hey, customers, it's your keys. You guys provision the key vaults. You import your keys. Just authorize me of a multi-tenant application that would say, these key vaults stay under the control of the individual people who own those keys. The operator of the multi-tenant application does not see their keys. They have a brokered access to their keys. And these people see the access logs. These people can deauthorize the application at any point. These people can rotate the keys of their, on their own cadence independent of this application.
Great.
Yeah, this is really useful. Yeah. Imagine you, how you used to manage all the connection streams for all your customers.
Exactly.
It was
exactly. And as I said, these are the promises. The app can use the tenant's keys but cannot see them. And the key owner gets the log and can revoke access. Now, jumping quickly to specifically what can we store inside each of these? You asked, are these things that can be retrieved or needs to be used? So there is this thing called a secret. A secret is any sequence of bytes under 10 kilobytes. Examples being connection strings, storage account keys. Some people want to store entire certificates, PFX files that eventually flow into a VM. Definition of a secret is something you store in there and you can retrieve back. Internally, the key vault service stores them encrypted with a unique key per vault. But they ultimately, when the authorized application wants it, they flow back to the application. Contrast this with what we call keys. A key is a cryptographic key. There we can do better. There, the owner of the key vault injects the key into the key vault, can never get it back. The authorized application also cannot get it back. The application can ask the service to decrypt something with that key, to sign something with that key, and do other such cryptographic operations, but can never get the key back.
So in this situation, you know, I'm that CSO, I've got my key, and I go inject it in the key vault, and then I store my key, you know, I'm on premise in like a safe or somewhere, but then I can use this key from my application without anybody knowing what it is.
Exactly.
Actually, for retrieving the secret, how does the application authenticate against the key vault? How does it approve it what it is?
It's a
chicken and egg problem. You need
So there is this thing called Azure Active Directory that many people might be familiar with.
Okay.
And we require that the application have an Azure Active Directory identity. And you use your token from Azure Active Directory to go access the key vault.
I see.
I'll get to this quickly. There's a big, big reason why we think that's the right choice.
Okay.
Now, clearly, you can store keys as real keys, or you can store keys as a secret and retrieve them in the application. Which one is right for you? Let's take an example. You are writing a website and you have an SSL certificate. That's a great example of where you may be across all your front ends processing thousands, tens of thousands of requests a second. And in each of them, the latency is super important. You want to terminate your SSL, do your task, return back very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not practical to call back into another service, the key vault service, in real time in the context of that call.
Mm-hmm.
Your latency is going to suffer as a result. And that's a perfect case where you would store the certificate as a secret, retrieve it into your front-end node, and then process it over there. On the other hand, there are other cases where security is more important than performance and latency.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, you would store it as a key, and it never exits the key vault service. A great example is keys used to encrypt data. Data can live around for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and those keys are typically, they need to be dealt with much more care than something like SSL keys that rotate every year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a great example.
So to go back to the early example of where we had a website that has a connection stream that talks to a database, we'd want to put that as a secret because we need to pull that out. But then we'd also, we wouldn't want to have to pull out that secret, that connection string, for every single connection request, because that's going to introduce latency because you're going to the service every single time. Instead, when our website starts up, we'd pull that key out, store it locally in memory, and then only fetch it if the memory was cleared, sort of thing, right?
Perfect.
Gotcha.
Perfect. And every time your website restarts, you would have to fetch it again.
Right. So. Makes sense.
Now, keys themselves are of two types. There are HSM-protected keys, and then there are software-protected keys. In the HSM-protected keys, we use the HSM backend behind the key vault service. Put your key directly inside it, and every single operation with your key happens inside those HSMs. So your key never sees the light of the day. I mean, goes to software. No human being sees it during operations. Software-protected keys, on the other hand, are keys that, when stored, are encrypted with something inside the HSM. Mm. However, our service retrieves them, and all crypto happens on our VMs. The software-protected keys are cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so for test, if you're just testing, you would want to use a software-protected key. When you move to production, typically you would upgrade to an HSM-protected key. The beauty is the interface stays the same. So for those of you familiar with CAPI or CNG interfaces on Windows, applications can talk to the CAPI interface in one way, and underneath you can switch from a smart card to an HSM to a TPM to software. And so the how you protect the key and how an application uses it are decoupled. And that's exactly what we've done in the cloud over here.
Very nice.
And a key vault, finally. We've been using the word key vault service all this time. But a key vault is just a container for all these related keys and secrets. Very often, it's a collection of keys and secrets that you want to manage for an application, manage access together, get built together. Mm-hmm. And it's just a logical construct for them.
Great.
Now, from a developer perspective, this is probably the more interesting portion. How exactly does it fit in the rest of Azure? So Azure, the object model looks like this. There is, at the very top, a subscription contains resource groups. Chris just mentioned about the Azure Resource Manager going GA. Resource group is a new concept that the Azure Resource Manager introduced, and this is a logical grouping for all resources within your application. Okay. Within a resource group, you can have resources like VMs, SQL databases, storage accounts. A key vault is yet another resource type. Mm-hmm. You can have any number of these per resource group. Inside a key vault, you can have any number of secrets or any number of keys. And one concept I haven't come to yet is versions. So inside of a secret are multiple versions of the same secret, mm-hmm. and multiple versions of a key inside a key. So every time you update the value of a key or update the value of a secret, we archive the previous version. And it's extremely important because very often keys are used for encryption. You have encrypted thousands of pieces of data with that key, and you have no idea where they are. Now, your policy says every year you need to keep rotating your key. So you rotate the key, meaning you update the key to a new value, and all new pieces of content get encrypted to the new key. But what happens to those old pieces of content? What do I do when I need to decrypt one of them? Well, the old version of the key is still in our archive, so you can always go back and say, please decrypt with that version of the key.
So at that point, you really kind of need to track what version or what key, what version of a key you use to encrypt something so that
exactly.
you know when you go to decrypt it, this is the version of the key I need out.
Exactly.
And also this diagram, the key vault can be only used within the associated resource group. You cannot use the key vault from one resource group from another resource group?
You can. So a key vault for management purposes is contained in a resource group. Mm-hmm. So the person who has contributor access to a particular resource group can create key vaults. Mm-hmm. And then the person who inherits that contributor access to the key vault can set access permissions on it. Mm-hmm. But the access that that person gives on the key vault mm-hmm. could be to applications or users that have nothing to do with Azure, in fact.
Even on Azure. Okay.
They don't even have to be on Azure.
Okay.
As long as those have identities in Azure Active Directory okay. in the same tenant, okay. you're good to go.
Yeah, I just want to clarify if there's a boundary between the resource group and the key vault.
No, there is not.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now, if your application is running on Azure, in an Azure cloud service or an Azure VM, mm-hmm. things become easier.
Yeah.
But you're not restricted to have your application done on Azure. You can use it from anywhere.
Yeah,
great. Now, from a developer perspective, the top question is, okay, how do I address that particular key vault? Mm-hmm. It's a RESTful service. So the key vault that you just created, let's say Derek is the name of the developer and he creates a vault called Derek's Vault. All key vaults have the suffix vault.azure.net. So the full URI of your key vault is https://derek's-vault.vault.azure.net. Secrets that you create underneath have the same URI suffixed by secrets, followed by the name of the secret. Mm-hmm. So I would say http put this particular URI, and a body will contain the value of the secret. And you get this URI back, as that's the full URI of your secret if you need to access it again. And you do HTTP get, and you get back the value of it.
And is it the same access pattern as what we see with storage, where you have a key and a the key and the name for your vault, for example, to do that access? So like with storage, you have a primary key and a secondary key. And mm-hmm. when you want to talk to storage, you go to the URL for storage, and then you either include the primary key or the secondary key. Is it the same concept for when you want to post or do a request against the RESTful service for your key vault?
This is closer probably to like the URIs that I've shared so far are closer to accessing a storage account.
Okay.
And the authentication is slightly different. In that case, you have the storage account key. In this case, we use an AAD token.
Right, okay.
And yep. it needs to go into your HTTP header gotcha. As an authorization header.
Gotcha.
So in the particular secret, there can be multiple versions, and each version is addressed by a GUID appended to the URI of the secret. So as you update the value of the secret, you get new GUIDs that we generate for you. If you access the secret using this URI, you get the latest value. If you access the secret using one of these values, you get a specific point in time value. Keys similarly have URIs that, there's a typo here. There should be keys. It's the URI of the vault followed by keys, followed by the name of the key.
Okay.
And then they have versions as well. And each version is just a GUID appended to it. An example of a RESTful operation with these keys. So I want to create a key. I do an HTTP post with this particular key name.
Mm-hmm.
And all I add at the end is the create verb and an API version of, this is typically a date. So the public preview has an API version of 12.08.2014. And as we have new versions of our protocol, this will update. This is the body of the key. So this says that I want to create an RSA key, and I want to let this RSA key be used for these operations. And the size of the key is 2048 bits. And I create this as a disabled key. So I may have a requirement to create a key, just preparing for the future. So I upload a key, get everything ready, and when everybody, 10 people nod, I say I enable the key. That may be the protocol. So this is that the not before and expire are really dates in epoch time. So since what 1969 or 79, whatever that date is. Here is an example of using that key for decryption. So it's the same URI, but the verb changes from create to decrypt. Again, there's an API version. And then the body of it contains the value of the ciphertext that you want to decrypt. Okay. And the response contains the plain text. Now, all of these are happening over HTTPS, so the response comes back as plain text, but over HTTPS.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where are we with the key vault service? So the key vault service is currently in public preview. We just released it last month in Jan. During the preview, we will operate it like GA, as in it's up 24/7. You can actually start depending on it. The service has been operating great. During preview, Azure services do not promise an SLA. This is something that happens when we go to general availability. There are some applications available for you out of the box today. If you are deploying SQL Server in an Azure VM or even on-premises, there's an example of an on-premises. There is this feature called transparent data encryption, transparent database encryption, where it's not exactly a checkbox, but it's literally saying, hey, SQL Server, anytime you're writing data to your database, mm-hmm. please encrypt it automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And when encrypting it, there's a database encryption key involved. Where is that database encryption key secured? You can point SQL Server to a particular key in a key vault and say, please encrypt my database encryption key to that particular key.
Does this handle the versioning of the key for
it
you?
It does,
wow.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And so you can keep rotating the key, the master key, and then newer databases will start using that. CloudLink is a vendor that provides VM encryption. So the CloudLink Secure VM product is something you deploy either in an Azure VM or on-premises, and you can point it to your Azure VMs and say, please make sure that this VHD of the VM stays encrypted at rest, and at runtime on the fly as it gets loaded, it gets decrypted, and it's persisted, it's encrypted again. Again, there is a VM-specific key involved, and the question is, how is that VM key secured? You can point CloudLink now to a key vault, to a particular key in a key vault, and you can control that key completely independent of CloudLink.
Very cool.
And CloudLink cannot see the key, SQL Server cannot see the key, only the key owner can see the key.
Awesome.
Azure RMS is our document premier document protection system, so it's available as part of Office 365. So anytime, for those of you who might have sent email and seen a do not forward button at the top, mm-hmm. that's RMS at work for you. that do not forward is enforced by encryption. So the content stays encrypted. Every document, every email has a unique key, and that key ultimately needs to be protected by a master key that belongs to your organization. There again, the key vault comes into play. Now, I have asterisked this because Azure RMS uses a previous version of Key Vault that was preview, but it's basically the same technology under the hood.
Okay.
Key Vault in preview is already available in 6 Azure regions across the world, and you can see 2 in US, 2 in Europe, 2 in Asia. Mm-hmm. The idea is that we want your service to be closer to your application. Mm-hmm. That's number one. But we also want to promise isolation. If you're familiar with HSM technology, they are initialized to something called a security world. We initialize the security world in every geography completely separate, differently, which means that keys that you inject as HSM protected keys in the US cannot be used in data centers in Europe and vice versa. So you have a cryptographic hardware enforced guarantee that your keys stay resident within your geography. So in general, Azure promises that data does not flow across geographies, but here now we have hardware isolation, a hardware enforcement of that fact.
Great.
If you want a geo-replicated service, you certainly can inject the same key in multiple regions. Mm-hmm. You must manually replicate it. It runs somewhat counter to our goal of isolation.
Sure.
We, in fact, do not even copy across regions within a geo. And you must manually replicate it. Across geos, we hard enforce that they cannot be copied, even if there was a bug. Between regions in a geo, we don't do it out of the box, that's all.
But say if I'm doing a manual replication myself, when I upload the same key to different vaults, mm-hmm. They will have different version numbers, right?
They will have different URIs, in fact, completely.
Oh, okay.
So they're treated as completely two different keys.
So I have to manage that myself.
That is correct.
I see.
So there's there are some caveats there. Like versioning becomes slightly trickier with that one. Mm-hmm. And we'll address those issues in the upcoming months. But yeah, they are as if they are two completely independent keys.
Yeah.
You asked how is authentication handled?
Yes.
This is completely based on Azure Active Directory. Mm-hmm. The observation is that the kinds of folks who care about cryptographic keys are often based in organizations. So let's say, just to pick on you, let's say Haishi was authorized to a particular key, mm-hmm. and Haishi decides to turn rogue and he gets fired. Mm-hmm. What does the organization do? You drop him from your Active Directory. Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't it be nice if he instantly lost access to all keys created anywhere in the organization, even if he was explicitly granted access.
Yep.
That's exactly the promise of Azure Active Directory. Just like single sign-on, Kerberos-based authentication on-premises, now we have single sign-on here. And you, like basically the Active Directory administrator can in a single place control which users and which applications mm-hmm. are considered legit in their organization. Mm-hmm. And separately from there is authorization on the key vault. So even if you may exist in the Active Directory, the key vault owner still needs to authorize you explicitly to say, you have access. So I could say, you have access to add keys. Chris has access to enumerate keys or get logs. That application, SAP, has access to encrypt, and that other SharePoint application can sign. I can be very granular about it.
I see.
One other feature that's not in this preview but coming is usage logs. So clearly, when you upload keys, you want to know how they're getting used. And so we will ship usage logs to you at some point. The service is not a free service. There is a charge to it, but it's minimal. So in preview, it's 1.5 US cents for every 10,000 transactions that you do. And a transaction or operation could be create a key, read a secret, write a secret, decrypt with it. It doesn't matter what operation it is. It's all a flat fee. If you create HSM protected keys over and above the transaction charge, there is also a storage charge of 50 cents per key per month.
Mm-hmm. This is per version
of the key.
Yeah.
And this is only charged if you use the key at least once in a month. I mean, if you're just in cold storage, there is no charge for it.
Nice.
In the multi-tenant application case where one company deploys an application, another company or set of companies are deploying their key vaults, and this company is accessing them, it's the key vault owner that pays the price because it's their service. Mm-hmm. It's great for the multi-tenant application. They save a bit of cost. They also don't have any liability for the keys because they never saw the keys.
Exactly.
That's great. Now, you asked earlier saying, does the application have to be on Azure? And I said, well, it doesn't have to be, but if you're on Azure, things get better for you. How so? So typically, I mean, as you observed, ultimately the application needs some credentials to be able to access this key. Mm-hmm. Where does that credential come from? This is the recommended full end-to-end picture. It looks a bit complicated, but let me step through it. Typically, somebody like a CSO or somebody privileged within your work group creates a key vault, injects the keys, authorizes a particular identity in Active Directory to access them. Either that same person or another privileged person will then go to the Azure Management Portal and upload what's called a service certificate. A service certificate is a PFX certificate, private key, the whole lock, stock, and barrel. Azure will then inject that certificate automatically in every instance of that service that comes up, whether it's an IaaS VM or a PaaS cloud service. Azure knows uniquely that it is that particular application, so that's the best authentication you can get. Mm-hmm. This certificate goes in it.
Is that the management certificate?
It's not management certificate. Okay. So there's two kinds of certificates in Azure. Okay. There's management certificates, which people use to log in to the management portal or to PowerShell. Mm-hmm. And then there's service certificates, which you upload to Azure. In the management certificate case, you're just uploading the public half, and you retain the private half. Yeah. In the service certificate, you're uploading the whole thing, the certificate and the private key. Azure stores it for you, and as your service comes up and goes down, or as it moves it from one VM to another, and these things happen independent of you, Azure will automatically take that certificate and inject it into your VM.
I see.
And when that happens, this VM is able to use that certificate for the purpose of authenticating to whatever it wants. In particular, that whatever we care about is Azure Active Directory. So if this application has been registered in Active Directory, the service, the application must register the same certificate over here as its credential, and then he can use, in step five, the certificate to get back a token. Now you use that token to talk to Key Vault.
Great.
So in this entire flow, the application did get the credential, but the person who deployed the application did not see the credential. Yeah. Some privileged person uploaded to Azure, it somehow found its way, and this application operator does not have the credential, does not see the keys in the key vault. It's completely hands off.
Great.
Makes sense.
And the common question is, oh, wait a minute, but this application does have the credential, so then can it not completely abuse the key vault? Yes, but there's a big difference between having a credential and actually having the keys over here. Mm-hmm. These might be encryption keys that are relevant for 30 years. These are credentials that can be rolled every month if you want it. Mm-hmm. If you have access to a credential, you must still come to the Key Vault service in real time to decrypt everything. So that leads to what we call an online attack. We can monitor it. We can stop you there. If you steal the keys over here, it leads to what's called an offline attack. You might be sitting in some forest in Siberia doing things, and you'll never be able, we'll never be able to detect that.
Right.
Or
but
stop
you
it.
Can we, go ahead.
But with this, even the application can authenticate with AAD, but through AAD, I can still change the authorization rule to forbid that application to use.
Exactly.
Right?
So exactly. So in AAD, if I find that this credential has been compromised, one of two things will happen. Either the AAD administrator will whack that application from AAD and say, I don't want that, or the person who owns that application will rotate the credential and say, well, I want to revoke that old credential because it's compromised, and here's a new credential. Yeah. And this is the last slide over here. There is a feature called BYOK that may interest people who do cryptographic keys in particular and need HSMs. Very often, organizations are subject to laws or regulations or compliance requirements that make them, where they need to prove to their auditors that they generated all keys inside a FIPS device, an HSM, that they follow certain process in doing so, and so on. In the past, your choice has been, well, I let the cloud operator do this for me, in which case, it's completely opaque and I cannot really give that proof to my auditor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I generate my key but then upload it in the clear in software to the cloud operator, in which case, it just exited the HSM. Mm-hmm. We created this thing called BYOK about 2 years ago as part of Azure RMS, and it's been a big hit over there, and so we just brought it onto Key Vault as well. The general, the promises we want to give you are, you control the key lifecycle, so you generate the key, you determine the policy, you rotate your keys as needed. Your key shall transfer to Microsoft's HSMs without ever seeing, without ever exiting the HSM boundary. So you control that. You have proof that once it lands on the Microsoft side, mm-hmm. it's processed inside genuine HSMs, and we use Thales and Cypher and Shield HSMs. There is proof in the form of a certificate from Thales that tells the person uploading the key that this key, once it's uploaded, will land in a genuine device manufactured in a Thales factory. Hmm. And that when it does so, inside the HSM, it's marked such that it cannot be exported. The general flow works like this. You generate your keys on premises. We give you a tool set to transfer it to our HSM, and part of the tool set is that certificate that contains proof that you're really transferring this to an HSM. The key travels encrypted with another key that's guaranteed to be generated inside our HSM, and that certificate proves that. Once it lands on this side, we unwrap it inside our HSM. Because this is HSM to HSM, software and operators never see the key. You would authorize specific applications to use that key. Those authorized applications can use that key. Because this is a multi-tenant service, we can scale out, we will manage these HSMs, so less burden on you, you don't have to worry about scaling out. We will give you a log, and at any point, you can ask Azure to delete the key and deauthorize applications. This is a software guarantee, not a hardware enforced guarantee, but you basically, from an audit perspective, you have a very clear trail of what's happening with your keys.
Great, very cool.
That's it. All right, so this is Azure PowerShell. The interface to the Key Vault service to manage your key vaults, to manage your keys, is all PowerShell at this point. There is no GUI, there is no portal presence. And generally for the kinds of people who deal with this power, they like PowerShell. And sure. We will have other command line interfaces, the cross-platform, the CLI, coming soon. So those people not working on Windows, bear with us for just a couple more months.
That's just a matter of uploading the certificate. So even if they're building an application that's not a .NET application, for example, they can still call into and use the Key Vault.
Absolutely.
They would just need to use PowerShell temporarily just to get the keys or the secrets of the Key Vault.
In fact, they can, everything I'm about to describe through this PowerShell, you can do that in your application by talking to the Azure REST APIs directly.
Great.
And this is just the IT Pro version of it.
Perfect.
And historically, we've had the Azure portal for all of it, mm-hmm. and PowerShell and CLI. At this point, PowerShell is the only interface that
gotcha.
We have in preview.
Okay.
So in this particular case, I'll skip over the basics of downloading the Azure PowerShell and doing all the import modules. So I'm all set up here to go. Now, the first thing I need to do is make sure I'm logging into the right account. Actually, I am, but I think my authentication might have expired. So let me just re-log in. So I am logging in as a particular account over here to my Azure subscription. And it tells me that I have one subscription. And although I did not do anything explicit, an Azure AD tenant got created for me. So we don't advertise this much, but Azure AD is ubiquitous. Like every time you have an Azure subscription, you have Azure Active Directory right behind the scenes. And I am just one of the users in that Azure Active Directory. Now, I want to create a new Key Vault, just like I would create a new storage account. It's pretty straightforward. New Azure Key Vault minus vault name what do you call it? Let's say call it Hashi's vault.
All right.
Hashi's got a vault.
I must specify a resource group name. Every resource needs to be part of a resource group. Mm-hmm. I can, let's favor Chris this time, Chris's group.
All right.
And I must say where that key vault goes. The location of the key vault determines the location of all the assets contained inside the key vault. All keys, all secrets inside the key vault go into that. So let me, in this case, choose Eastern US. And the choices are East US, West, North Central US. There's a couple in Europe, couple in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So the vault name is globally unique. So if Hashi vault was a name of a vault that already existed, it would have complained. I hope you have not already created one.
No.
So there you have, there you go. So we just created a key vault. Let's actually just take a look at the contents of that key vault. Here is the name of the vault. That's Hashi vault. It says it's contained in a group called Chris group.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the resource type. Every resource in Azure has a particular type to it. And this is the location. Now, here is a bulk of JSON stuff that describes some properties. The one property here is the name, and that says standard. Key vaults come in two SKUs, standard SKU, premium SKU. Standard SKUs allow you to do secrets and software protected keys. Premium SKUs allow you to do HSM protected keys also. This just got inherited from my subscription, so mm-hmm. that's the Azure Active Directory tenant that this gets parented to, which means that anytime someone tries to access this particular key vault, mm-hmm. will require that you have a token from that particular Azure Active Directory tenant in particular. This is the access control list. By default, it says, since I created the key vault, I probably have a very good intent to add keys to it and add secrets to it. So it grants me some rights. So it grants me all access rights to secrets and certain access rights to keys. Notice that it has granted me create, delete, list, update, import, backup, but not decrypt, sign, and those cryptographic operations. I mean, as a creator of the key vault, it's highly unlikely I will need that. It's
sure.
typically my application that needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of these permissions have been granted to this pair of GUIDs. This is saying this particular GUID is my object ID in my Azure Active Directory. And it's saying that this particular user in this particular Active Directory tenant
mm-hmm.
has these rights.
Great.
And this at the bottom is the URI of the vault that I must give to folks that need to access it. Now, the key vault documentation also points to sample applications.
Mm-hmm.
And here is a sample application called Hello Key Vault, which goes through every single operation on a key vault just to demonstrate how to do each of them.
Okay.
So it's almost like a unit test kind of sample.
Great.
Now, the things that are needed for configuration are abstracted out in this app.config over here. In this particular application, you can do whatever you want in your application. But just for demo purposes, it's great because these are the only things that you need to configure. The first thing that the application needs to know is the URI of the vault. And we go back here, take this URI, and paste it in this. Okay. The next thing the application needs is it needs to log in to Azure Active Directory
mm-hmm.
to get a token to talk to the key vault.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs an identity in Active Directory, and it needs a credential that it needs, just like a username and password. And that's what the next two things in the config are. We don't have an identity yet, so let's go to the Azure portal to create an identity for my application. So in the Azure portal, on the left, one of the things here is Active Directory.
Mm-hmm.
If I click that, I see all of the directories that my account has access to. I currently have access to one. I may be working in a nonprofit organization on the side. I may be working in a school on the side. And so I may have multiple directories here.
Sure.
But this is the one that's relevant right now. I go click that. And at the top, I see these things. There are users. And you can see that there are actually, I'm not an administrator, so I cannot see all the users in this particular directory. But I can see the applications, and there are currently four test applications that various users have registered. I want to create a new application, so I go down here and say add. And let me say Channel 9 test app is the name of this particular application.
Great.
And there are a set of questions that are asked because this thing was created for more interactive applications. In our case, that test application is a headless application that doesn't need any user interactivity.
Right.
So I'm just going to enter some garbage over here. Let's say I'll say msn.com. This is just a unique URI within the particular tenant. It can be anything.
Okay.
Directory doesn't care. I click OK. I have an identity for my application. And I go to the Configure tab, and I see that identity right here. This GUID over here that says Client ID is the unique ID of this particular application. So going back to my application, where it says Client ID, this is like the username of the application. I paste this GUID.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I need is a credential for my application to log into Active Directory. In the slides earlier, I pointed to certificates as the best way to do that. Now, that worked great for applications on Azure, but what if you're running your application on premises or in AWS or somewhere else? I mean, clearly, you won't have that.
Or in this case, on your laptop.
On my laptop. There is a simpler way, and that simpler way is what's called a shared key. So I go down here in the under the Keys tab and say, I want to create a new shared key. It doesn't show the value yet, but I say save. It's generating a key for me and uploading it. And there you go. Now it has a key generated for me. This is an AES key. I copy the value. This is a Base64 encoded version of the key. And there you go. Now I have everything required to be able to access that particular key vault, except for one thing. I never authorized this application to my key vault yet.
Right.
So the last thing I need to do is to make sure that I authorize this. The way I authorize this is by this GUID. So I go back to my PowerShell and say, I must grant access policy to my key vault that I just created, whose name is Haishi Vault. The service principal name is what I just created, which is the name of the ID of the application. I must grant permissions to keys. And let's say in this particular case, I'm going to give all permissions. But I can say specific permissions like decrypt, sign, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make things easier, here I'll say all permissions.
Okay.
And I'll also give permissions to access secrets. And I'll again say all permissions. And what you just saw here is the contents of the vault, the metadata on the vault just expanded. There was one access control entry over here that was for me originally.
Mm-hmm.
Another one got added over here. This is the ID of the application in that tenant. And it says that application can do anything with secrets and anything with keys in this particular case.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now, hopefully, if I have not forgotten any step, everything should just work out. So this particular sample, I'm just building it for the first time on this laptop. So it's retrieving all the NuGet packages needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's building right now. And when everything is built, it'll go talk to Azure Active Directory, get a token, talk to Key Vault, and there it is. It's actually doing a bunch of operations on the Key Vault right here.
Very cool.
This is an application running on my laptop. This might as well have been an application running in an Azure VM or a cloud service in Azure.
Great. And nice. We'll make sure we provide a link to this the sample application underneath the video.
Yep.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, this is something I built. Like I said, there are already some ready-made applications that just need to be configured, like the SQL Server TDE Cloud Link, and off you go. And over the next few months, we'll be adding many, many more applications, both from Microsoft and other vendors.
Very exciting. I know a bunch of customers who are going to be really excited to see this because they've been waiting for this sort of solution. Well, great. And where can we send people if they have more questions or they want more information?
So the best place to go, there are two places.
Great.
One is blogs.technet/b/KV. That's the Key Vault blog.
Okay.
And if you are the kind of person who likes to read the story version of the narrative version of learning, this is a great place. Start from the bottom up. This is the introduction to the Key Vault and each of the applications.
Great.
The official documentation is right here. You go to azure.microsoft.com and if you go under features, under management, you see Key Vault.
Great.
And there's links to pricing and documentation. And under documentation, there is a nice quick start video if you wanted a 4-minute version of everything I just talked about.
Perfect.
Start there. The Get Started with Key Vault is an awesome place once you're past all this learning and want to actually do something on your own. Follow these instructions step by step. You have your first vault and your first application ready to go.
Perfect.
And then all the links to the sample applications are all right here on this page.
Great. Perfect. Now, do you have a Twitter handle in case somebody wants to reach out to you?
Yeah.
If you give us one of these, we'll actually just Photoshop it right now.
It's actually the Twitter handle of my manager, Dan Plastina, is actually the preferred one that we use.
Okay.
It's called The RMS Guy.
All right, perfect.
T-H-E-RMS Guy.
We'll get that put right in there for you.
And that's for not just the Key Vault, but there's a bunch of these security services that we provide in this team, and they're all covered in that particular.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in and showing us about this. It's great to see you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Hope this is useful to you all.
Absolutely. And everybody out there, make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and thanks for watching.
Thank you.